Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is Dave Kabikian.
And we're two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. And the phone number here at the radio station, because we would love for you to call us, is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Debbie. What's going on?
Not much. Just, it's such a beautiful, beautiful day outside.
It's been
a fantastic week.
Yeah, it's been a glorious week. I looked at the 10-day. It really looks amazing. I don't want to jinx anything, although I wouldn't mind some rain every now and then. My lawn is begging for it.
I think there's going to be some rain next week, but today, we were talking about this earlier before we went on the radio. Today is actually the longest day. And everybody's like, so what does that mean? Well, if you have a loved one with Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's treats this as the longest day. It's the day with the most light, right? It's the summer solstice. On June 20th, people from across the world will fight the darkness of Alzheimer's through a fundraising activity of their choice. So usually there's all kinds of walks and everything, but with the pandemic and social distancing, what they're suggesting is to go to their website and sign up to do a fundraiser.
Yeah, you know, it's been lost in the shuffle. Usually, I mean, I know on social media, certainly, they've been posting about it, and it's usually a much bigger deal. But, you know, hopefully, because of the idea behind it, every day being the longest day, you don't have to wait until the summer solstice to come up with a campaign to give to this great organization. You could really do it any day. And so maybe when the dust settles and they start doing their Alzheimer's walks and things like that, maybe people will give extra then to make up for maybe a little less action, you know, because of COVID and everything. It's really, you know, Debbie, you deal with so many clients. I deal with so many clients where we're talking about home care, community Medicaid, or unfortunately we're talking about skilled nursing or memory care units in assisted livings. And by far the largest reason for it is dementia. And we have so many clients' children, right, who are trying to take care of their folks or arrange things. And for them, I mean, I don't think it's just like a clever, campaign here. It really, truly is the longest day all the time.
Yeah, I had a gentleman that came in this week, actually. Kim and I met with him. And he and his wife have been married for 55 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, you know, he goes, this is not the way it was supposed to be, right? She has Alzheimer's. And he said, you know, she was a baker, right? So she baked stuff. He said, so I would come home from work and I would have these wonderful loaves of Italian bread and I would have all this stuff. And he goes, cooking was never my thing. And now I'm doing all the cooking and I'll go and say, well, I'm going to make a pizza. And, you know, the long-term memories, a lot of them are still there. And she'll be like, oh, no, that's not how you do it. But then halfway through helping him make the pizza, you know, then she can't remember anymore. She can't remember why they're making pizza. And it was just very, very sad. And he can't leave the house because he needs someone to take care of her. He has a daughter that he actually left his wife with whenever he came to meet with Kim and I. And he said, you know, especially with COVID, I really do need to get some help in the house. I really do need to get just a little bit of assistance, just a little bit of respite. And that's why, you know, they say it's the longest day of the year, because whenever you're in a situation like that and you don't have any help, it can be the longest day of the year every day.
Yeah, it's a combination of summer solstice and, you know, Groundhog Day, like the movie, because every day is the exact same. It's tough. And we're, you know, our job, the jobs of these great caregivers, it's simply to, like, make lemonade, right? Life hands you these lemons, and in a lot of cases, they're just really unfortunate fact patterns, and they are sad. And it doesn't mean it's the end. It just means that we need to tweak the way that we're living and making sure that mom and dad or our spouse is safe in the right environment. And more, you know, that environment happens to be home. And I know you've been on the radio quite a bit talking about this, Debbie. Something is coming on October 1st, and it's really going to change the ability for our clients to stay at home, or at least the financial impact if they want to stay at home and get lots of care.
That's true. It's, you know, the budget changes, and whenever they basically the governor hired a task force or appointed a task force to look into ways to cut for the budget, and community Medicaid was one of them. So right now, before October 1st, if you apply for community Medicaid, there's no look back, meaning they don't look back at any transfers of assets or anything like that. It's kind of a little bit more intense than that, but basically, as you always say, it's like you could, it's a little bit late in June maybe to do it, but we could apply for August 1st, right? We could get everything all together, transfer all the assets in July, and apply for August 1st and get you some help. So it's one of those things you're going to have to look forward to doing that before October 1st, because October 1st they're going to start, the 30-month look back, right?
Right. So to give everyone an example out there, we have a new client where wife is going to need chronic care. She needs to be in a nursing home. It's not a maybe. The family says it's a definite. And as a result of now mom not being home, now dad, who is going to be home, he's going to need some help too, right? And so the way the I won't get deep into the math here, but essentially we need to get mom qualified for her part. And because we're going to apply for her first, we're able to let dad have a little more than he normally would as an applicant himself. So hopefully we get her qualified fast. And then we shift our attention to dad, and our predicament potentially is, are we going to be able to apply for dad for home care before October 1st? Because by definition, we're going to make sure he's got too much money, right? Enough money in mom's Medicaid, but he may have too much money for his own Medicaid. And in any other scenario, Debbie, it just doesn't matter. We're good, right? We'll wait until mom gets qualified and so on. But this big change coming up, October 1st, all of a sudden, you know, subject to change, maybe they'll delay it because of COVID, we'll see. But that's a pretty hard line, and we're concerned that we may lose some money for the client if things take too long for mom's Medicaid. And, you know, we're trying to get our clients to shift their mentality, because we've always talked about there's no look back period. You qualify next month if you move things around. We as attorneys are learning to change our mentality to say, look, those normal things we would do, normally we'd say, all right, a couple months isn't going to change anything. Well, right now, unfortunately, a couple months may really, really change things. And you're seeing a lot of people coming in, and maybe it's because it's, you know, going from phase two to phase three, and for the majority of our clients. But people are calling now and saying, I heard about all this stuff you were saying, and now I could actually leave the house, or I might be able to go to the bank. I'm ready to proceed because we're worried about what happens between now and October 1st and our long-term care needs.
Debbie and David? Oops, yep. Sorry, David. I did not mean to step on you like that. We do have a caller this morning. We have Bruce in Saratoga Springs.
Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Great. I got a question about long-term care insurance.
Okay.
I currently have a policy which I've been paying on for a number of years. And one of the things, every 3 years, they send me an optional, you know, to increase the amount of coverage. Of course, the rate goes up. And I mean, I've been experiencing rate increases right along because I've had this policy for nearly 20 years. And they underestimated what it was going to cost for this stuff. Am I fooling myself into thinking that this is a good thing to have? You know, I increased my daily benefit up to $271, which is a little over half of what a nursing home costs.
Yeah.
Let's just say, for example, I go into a nursing home and they can't touch my IRA, but they can take the RMDs.
Right.
And am I just fooling myself into thinking that I'm, doing a good thing?
Bruce, you may have a little false sense of security. So let me get everyone else who's listening up to speed for a moment, okay? And then I'm going to set up my soapbox and I'm going to stand on it and I'm going to start lecturing, okay? So long-term care insurance is a type of insurance that pays for long-term care needs. You pay a premium every year to have the insurance. And if there's a long-term care need eventually, you could trigger your policy. You'll have to get through something called an elimination period. Usually it's 90 days. And then after that, whatever your benefit is, it'll start to pay and help pay for wherever you happen to be. Okay? So in your situation, you may elect to get your daily benefit up to about $270. So if we said $270 a day and it's 30 days in a month, we're talking about what? We're talking about $8,000 potentially a month. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of help that you're going to have as the top part of your benefit level. And that may be good for assisted living and assisted living with memory care. That might be good for a whole bunch of home care. And you said it yourself, if there's a nursing home event in the future, and hopefully that's not anytime soon, so that would mean maybe that it's more likely the nursing home is going to be $15,000 a month because it's several years from now, God willing, hopefully never. Right, you have a shortfall of $7,000 a month. Over a year, you're spending $84,000 additional dollars beyond the long-term care insurance to pay for your long-term care need. So we have a lot of clients like this where they say, should I keep my policy or should I get a policy? And we have to look in the crystal ball and say, all right, so what's going to happen to you later on? Are you guaranteeing you're going to need assisted living? Because this may pay the whole way. That's wonderful. Or are you saying, well, I'm going to need a nursing home? Because at that point, how are we going to pay for $7,000 a month? You'll end up talking to Debbie or Jay Marie or Harry, myself, and we'll develop a plan, a crisis plan, to get you qualified for Medicaid. Right? So you'll have long-term care insurance paying for some money and Medicaid paying for the shortfall. Okay, that's kind of how it would work if you needed a nursing home tomorrow. Now, you can't talk about any of this without knowing the other options. So what's another option? Well, if you never did the long-term care policy, we would get you qualified for Medicaid. Debbie would set up a trust for you and put your house in it. And several years later, you would qualify for Medicaid if you needed a nursing home. And yes, they would take income and required minimum distributions from your retirement, but the rest of it would be covered by Medicaid. The difference between these two scenarios is every year you're paying a premium. And I'm not going to ask you on the radio what your premium is, but imagine if you didn't pay that every year and instead you invested it or you stuck it in your pocket or you went on a trip. And that's kind of the issue with long-term care. My parents have it. I say it at every seminar. I'm happy they have it. They're using their money for it. I don't think I'll be doing that for myself. I think that when the time's right, I'll do a Medicaid trust and so on and so forth. And what a lot of our clients have done is they've set up a trust. They've put their house in the trust. They've gotten this clock ticking in case bad things happen down the road. But they're also avoiding probate, right, because their house is in the trust. We're kind of making things a little more efficient. And then you know what? 5 years from now, Bruce, if you say, I'm getting this other letter, they want to double my premium now, you can say, you know what, no thanks, because my house is protected, my stocks are protected, I set up this trust, it was 5 years, I'm good to go, and you can choose to end your relationship with that policy. Or you could even lower your benefit level if you want. So the trust for people, it's all about you having options. I'm sorry for sucking all the air out of the radio program here, but it's really important, okay? It really is, and I'm glad you called. I'd love it if you came in to talk more about it, because the devil's in the details, and the problem is there is that shortfall in a nursing home scenario. So if you're sitting out there, you're saying, oh, geez, I wonder how I'm doing. Debbie, if their policy pays $450 a day, well, that's going to cover all the nursing homes. So that's you know, in terms of our list of awful things that can happen to people, at least they have full coverage in a nursing home.
Right, but they need to look at their elimination period, too.
Yeah, well, the first 3 months, likely, they'll have to pay their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, like, in my current situation, that I, you know, my between my pension, my wife's pension, you know, but plus we get Social Security, you know, we're not, I don't want to say, we're not poor, okay? We're you know, we have a decent income, and the thought of being able to qualify for any kind of Medicaid, I don't think I would, you know?
Well, so there's, again, the devil's in the details. So first of all, we're going to want to use home care wherever we can because we do have options to preserve all your income and you would save all your income and still get care. But even in a nursing home situation, that's where I was talking about, you know, we make lemonade out of lemons. The lemons are you're in a nursing home. So what, regardless of what your income is, there's going to be this payment that's got to be made. And so if you need a nursing home but your wife can still stay at home, right, we may lose your income to Medicaid, but at least we preserve her income. Maybe we're even able to move some money, some income into her column, the way the logistics work, okay? But she still has a house to pay for, and you're going to have this shortfall in your policy. So, you know, tomorrow, do you need to qualify for Medicaid? Thankfully, no, because you're doing well. But if we're in a situation where we're in a nursing home, and we're facing $15,000, or with your policy, we're facing an additional $7,000 or $8,000 a month of private paying. Your income all of a sudden doesn't look so good, especially when your wife still needs to live at home, and she needs to pay for things at home. So it's really about trying to make this worst case scenario a little better and give more options as to how things are paid. There will be, the way Medicaid works, if everyone's income's over $50 a month, right, they'll take that excess income subject to a lot of rules that we won't get into on the radio because we'll put everyone else to sleep who's already not sleeping.
That's true.
So, Bruce, what I recommend to you, you should come and talk to one of us. It's free, okay? And we would go through this scenario and some better scenarios, some worse scenarios. We'd talk to your wife and get everyone's take. And maybe your plan is to avoid probate and nothing much more than that. Maybe you go with something that also will give you some options when it comes to this long-term care policy. Certainly, I wouldn't get rid of the policy without having a plan, okay? You've put all this money into it, and fortunately for you, you haven't needed to use it yet. But that's the thing with insurance, right? Those premiums are gone. So the question is, for the next 10 years, the next 20 years, what's the plan for you guys? And it's different for every family. So if someone else is listening and they're saying, ooh, that's interesting, it might be completely different for their fact pattern. And that's why it's so important that people do come in and see Debbie or Harry or Jay Marie or myself, because we could take that hour to really get into the details. And certainly I don't want any more details from you on the radio because, you know, we're on the radio and everything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this was a general question. Like I say, I see the shortfall that's developing on these costs. And I'm thinking, you know, it's still going to, at the end of the day, I think this is still going to break the bank, so to speak, if the event ever happened. So, you know, I'm wondering the wisdom of having this insurance when there's going to be such a shortfall. You know?
Right. There may be. And the difficulty is that we have 5 years of look back that we need to kind of get through before it's going to be safe for you to no longer have a policy like that if you were considering not having that policy anymore.
Right. I understand that.
Because
I'm looking at this stuff for, you know, the next 15, 20 years and just paying this. The rates are going up. You know, this was an inflation protector that they just sent me. that, you know, I can increase my coverage, and I'm wondering if I should, because I'm still way behind the curve on what these costs are going to be, ultimately, like you pointed out. So that's why I'm starting to question. Now, you're saying these Medicaid trusts, my assets would be in a trust and therefore untouchable?
You're correct. The assets that Medicaid would be able to touch. So, again, let's just say you're in a nursing home, sorry for the bad news, and we have this shortfall of $7,000 or $8,000, and, you know, your wife isn't in a nursing home, so she does need money for her household, okay? So how are we coming up with that $7,000? We're going to have to sell stuff until we otherwise qualify for Medicaid. So the idea of the trust is we do it on a sunny day like today, and we create a trust so that way 5 years from now or later, if there is a need for a nursing home, we look immediately to Medicaid for that shortfall from the long-term care insurance rather than spending through your assets to then be able to apply. It's a way to reconfigure your assets so you qualify earlier. And among other things, because we're not rooting for a nursing home, certainly. If nothing else, it helps us avoid probate, right? I don't know your long-term care future. I know your mortality future, right? We're all going to die one day. So let's avoid probate. And, you know, Debbie did this fantastic webinar earlier this week about what to do when that stuff happens, and it was all about probate. And I got to tell you, it is enlightening because of how scary it could be. And hopefully Debbie will share some information about that. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great weekend. So great soapbox speech, Dave. But I totally agree. And it's one of those things where I talk to people about it all the time, and I ask them if they have long-term care insurance, and they say, well, I thought about it, but it seemed awfully expensive. There are different types of long-term care insurance out there now. They have, you know, policies now that act as a long-term care policy or a life insurance policy, which is something that some of my clients have looked at. But, you know, it just depends. That's why it makes so much sense to sit down with one of the attorneys. Bring your paperwork in. If you have documents that we've already done with another attorney, we'd be happy to look at them, look at your long-term care policy, and kind of plot it down the road and say, you know, what if this, what if that, just to make sure that you've got everything taken care of. Because if you don't have a plan, right, then New York's going to make your plan for you.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, the idea of giving people options, then it's just a business decision, right? Like, my parents made a business decision that they're going to have a long-term care insurance policy. And they happen to have a very good one in that it does provide some long-term care benefits beyond its own coverage. It's called the New York State Partnership Plan. And they made the decision, their business decision was to pay a premium every year for something that hopefully will never happen. And if it does, won't happen for a couple decades, hopefully, right? So that's their business decision, and it might be the greatest business decision they ever made if, unfortunately, they both need a nursing home for many years. Who will benefit? My brother and I and my, you know, our kids. And it may be that that was an awful decision in hindsight because they never needed a nursing home. So, we you know, there are no guarantees in it. It's just getting all that information from you so that way they can make the best informed decision. And time will only tell which was the right way to go. We don't know.
No,
however,
we don't know.
The plan is you keep getting older every day, and eventually these needs will develop, and it's just having that plan of how to deal with them. Or, at a basic level, avoiding probate. I mean, tell me, how much... So, everyone, we had a week of webinars, 2 p.m. every single day this past week. We had a different webinar, and we do have webinars next week on Wednesday, on our webinar Wednesday. Debbie presented on what to do when a loved one dies. Debbie, how much time did you spend just talking about, like, probate? And the whole...
Well, that's kind of... It's funny that you ask. That's what the seminar is... Or the webinar, I want to call it a seminar, but I guess it's a webinar, is about, and how to avoid it, and what happens, when you have to go through the courts and what happens. And it was interesting because I had I told him what my personal email address was during the webinar. I always do. And I got quite a few emails afterwards just asking simple questions. Simple questions mm-hmm. like, hey, my husband died and all there is a car that's in his name. What do I need to do? Questions, just simple, simple questions about administration as opposed to probate whenever you... as opposed to the letters testamentary, you know, what an executor does, what a trustee does, and just simple stuff like what you need to think about whenever someone passes away. And it's things that kind of don't come to light. I mean, simple stuff like if you're going to the funeral and you put the obit in the paper, make sure someone's at the house, right? Because with everybody at the funeral, I mean, these days, not everyone's at the funeral, but you need to have protection at the house, right? If everybody's gone.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think of that. That's, how dare someone do that if they would basically take a notice out there as an opportunity. Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's awful. Just simple stuff like that. I mean, it's a great seminar. I've done it a lot of times. I used to do it for continuing ed for Saratoga schools. And it really, you can see the light bulb come on in people's eyes. They're like, oh, my gosh, I never thought about that. Next week, Kim, I think, is presenting on senior scams. There's a lot of scams that happen with people that pass away, too. One year, we had like four or five different estates that whenever we were settling them and went to claim the refund for the person that had passed, someone had already claimed it. Someone had got their Social Security number somehow, and they had claimed the money. And it took almost a year for the people to actually get the money for the tax refunds. And credit cards, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that you really need to think about if someone passes away, not just notifying everybody and getting a funeral paid for and arranged. You got to really think about all the personal stuff, too.
Absolutely. I'm curious, do you think that you had more people who were dealing with or had recently dealt with a death, or do you think there were a lot of people who were just want to know what is down the road so they could better plan and, you know, come up with who the right executor is because now they know what it means to administer an estate, or, you know, what was that mix, do you think?
I'd say probably it was more people that wanted to make sure that they were prepared, because I did get a lot of emails that said, wow, that was great. I never thought about making my accounts joint, and I didn't know the difference between having a joint account and having my child on as a power of attorney. And I didn't know that you shouldn't, this is like a huge one, right, that you shouldn't make any markings on an original will.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have the original will if we have anything to say about it. But
true.
Yeah, that, exactly for that reason.
But, you know, people didn't know a lot of things. So it was preparing, too. So I got a few emails afterwards. They're like, okay, I want to avoid this. What do I need to do?
Perfect.
All right, we are at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take our break right here. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for,
options available for Medicaid planning, and more.
With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany,
West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs,
Executive Woods in Clifton Park,
and Flatbush Road in Kingston.
Our attorneys are here to help you.
If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David,
Jane Marie Harry, or Debbie,
please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581.
Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131.
Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010.
And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405.
Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back for the second half hour. This is Debbie Verney.
Morning, this is Dave Kopickin.
And we would love for you to give us a call. We're going to talk about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, and you could be our first caller this half hour at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And before we went to the break, we were talking about our webinars. We did a whole week of webinars this week, and next week we're going back to our regularly scheduled webinar Wednesdays. So we have two webinars on Wednesday. One of them is on senior scams, and another one is on estate planning and prime time. I think you're doing that one, right, Dave?
I am. It's not at prime time. I think that one's going to be at 2 p.m., and I think the one on scams, I believe, is at 10 a.m. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So great opportunities to just get some more information. Kim sounds terribly interesting. I'm actually going to be tuning into that one myself. You know, Debbie, we get this a lot, but there was a client that called. His daughter, who's a trustee, got something in the mail that looked official, saying that she can order a copy of the deed that transferred a piece of property to the trust. And I had to let him know that his spidey senses were correct to call, because that's nonsense. You don't need a certified copy of your deed. And if you really did, it's sitting at the county clerk, and you could just get one there. So.
Right. And I think some of the scams she's going to talk about, actually one of my friends fell for, right? Just recently, she was on her computer, and she clicked the wrong thing, and all of a sudden, buzzers and bells and everything started going off on her computer, you know, and it's like, your computer's been hacked, you have to call this number, you have to do this, you have to do that, and she did. So yeah. She ended up giving them access to her computer, so she had to have her computer wiped, she had to go get new credit cards, she had to change her bank accounts, because she had all that information on her computer. A lot of times we forget that we have everything on our computer, everything on our phone, right? As someone asked me, what's such and such's phone number, right? I have to go to my phone to find their phone number. I don't remember anybody's phone number anymore. So you've really got to be careful and make sure, because they sound so convincing and all these buzzers and bells are going off, you know? And she freaked out, right? And she called this number, and then apparently they sold her information, her contact information, to lots of different companies, because her phone has been ringing, not her cell phone, but her home phone has been ringing off the wall. So, and she's just devastated, and she's like, I'm smarter than that. But at the situation at that time, you know, with it, all this stuff going on her computer, she just said, I've got to take care of this, and I need this to stop. And then it did, after they hacked her computer.
That's awful.
Debbie, David, we have another caller. We have Nancy in Rensselaer.
Good morning, Nancy.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
What can we help you with, Nancy?
I have two questions about inheritance, and I'll ask my questions, and then I'll hang up so I can listen on the radio. I received an inheritance, and I wanted to know, do I need to report that to federal or New York State government, and is it taxable? And then my other question is, if I give it to the kids or the grandkids, do they have to pay any taxes on it? And is it reportable for them?
Okay,
Can I ask you a quick question before you hang up?
Yeah.
Are any of the inheritance in the form of retirement accounts?
No, I just got a check.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
So if the bequest that you received was like a bequest under a will, and you just received a check, and it's not part of an annuity, and it's not part of a retirement account, the odds are you probably are not going to have to pay any tax on it. And as far as giving it to your kids, you would have to file a gift tax return if you gave any one of your kids more than $15,000, but there wouldn't be any tax due. Whenever you have an estate, you have to kind of find out from the attorney's office or whomever you received it from what kind of assets it was, right? Because if it was stocks, for instance, there's a step up in basis when the person passes away, so there shouldn't be any capital gains. The problem would be is if it was part of a retirement account or maybe an annuity, because there may be a lot of deferred tax in there. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. The fact that you just got a check would make me think that that it is more like what Debbie's saying, you were a beneficiary on life insurance, you were a beneficiary in a will, something like that. Just a pile of money, it's in your hands, and you're good to go. When you're giving to the kids and grandkids, that's where we want to have a longer conversation with you, because Debbie's seen a lot of times where people do that, and you know, 2 years later, they're not doing so hot and long-term care-wise, and we're actually really regretting the fact that some of those transfers took place. Or you may say, you know what, I do want to give to grandkids, but if you knew that it's going to hurt their financial eligibility for college one day, maybe you wouldn't want to do that. So that's the part that's a little more concerning to me, where there's a lot more details, and it's probably worthwhile for you to have a talk with Debbie about it, because whatever your motivations are, right, you want to spread the wealth, you want to take care of your kids and grandkids, there's some unintended consequences that can happen from that, and you may want to leave things to them, right, a similar way, and I don't know if you're on anymore, but even if you were, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but we kind of want to know how old you are. We want to know what your fact pattern is like, what the family tree looks like. So in a nutshell, are there tax implications? If it's not retirement, then likely not, as Debbie said. But I think what made my ears go up was when you said you may want to give to the kids. I think that's worth an in-depth conversation with Debbie.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the webinar I did yesterday was on Medicaid myths, and that was one of the questions, that I can give anyone $15,000 a year, and it's not a big deal, right? That it doesn't count against me, which is not true. If you end up going into a nursing home, the IRS says that you can give anyone you want $15,000. You could walk into a room and hand everybody a $15,000 check, and you don't have to worry about taxes, and neither do they. The problem would be is if you need to apply for services, if you're trying to apply for chronic care Medicaid within the next 5 years, they'd say, but before you gave that money away, you could have used it to pay for your care.
Right. Right. Well, thanks for the call, Nancy. I hope the answers help. And if you do want to schedule some time with Debbie, you can call our office at 518-465-7581. And you can email us at info@herzoglaw.com as well. You could also use that number and that email, as well as go to our website, www.herzoglaw.com, and click on the seminar page to see the links to our webinars that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. And also on the blog tab of our website, again, herzoglaw.com, you actually have access to the vast majority of webinars we've done over the last month. And you can actually click and look at the videos. You could email us. We could send you slides. And so that way, if you missed it, you can still get some pretty good information.
Yeah, I sent a lot of people to the website after the one I did on what to do when a loved one dies. Because it's pre-recorded, and I think Medicaid myths is pre-recorded. There's a lot of them that were recorded on the website, and we did that because not everyone is available at 10 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon to do the webinars. And we are going to have a week of webinars. We have a webinar week. We have a webinar Wednesday. We're going to have a webinar. We got all those webinars things. We've got webinars coming up again. We're going to do them for a week in July. And we're also, we're going to do our client appreciation. Used to be seminar. Now it's going to be a webinar.
I know. I'm excited and I'm terrified, because the idea of technology and so many of our clients all mixing in one event scares me. But it's pretty cool that we're going to be able to still get information to our clients. And for those that aren't clients, basically every year we're not doing the same topics for our clients. We're letting them know what's changing in the world, as well as, you know, I know one year we talked about how you can have provisions for your pets in your documents, or you know, what to do if there's a firearm that you own, because there's certain rules for that. So I don't know if we've finalized for sure the topics this year, but we can't wait to see our clients virtually for sure. So, Debbie, before we get another caller and before we run out of time here, I did want to just talk about a client that recently retained us, because it's a good cautionary tale. And maybe not cautionary tale, but it's words matter, relationships matter. A couple that's been together for decades in Dutchess County, and they're both not doing so well health-wise, but the boyfriend, I'm not going to say husband because they're not married, he has some other issues going on. Prime candidate for some long-term care and the Medicaid program. And they own a house together, Debbie, as woman and man, not as husband and wife, right? Not, they're not a married couple. These are two individuals that own a piece of property.
Uh-huh.
And the question was, well, what's our exposure? I said, well, there's exposure because Medicaid isn't going to recognize you as a spouse, so the house isn't going to be exempt for the services that he's going to need, you know, in a nursing home. So they're going to put a lien on his portion of the home, mm-hmm. the way that you guys technically own it. And that's because the way the deed is titled really matters, right? Words matter.
Oh, yeah.
And the way it was titled, he's got an undivided one-half interest. Now, he can say, I intend to return home, which is magic words in our world that can help get him qualified for Medicaid and a nursing home, but that'll result in a lien eating up his half of the home. Not only that, though, Debbie, this is like the, it was such a good fact pattern for this cautionary tale. I wish they hadn't been dealing with it. He's got more income than she does.
Oh.
Right? She wants to stay in the home, but he's going to need to be in a nursing home in all likelihood in the near future, right? But there are income rules that we work with when it comes to Medicaid, and we have the ability of essentially moving over from husband to wife or from wife to husband, extra income to get that spouse that's still living at home up to around $3,200 of monthly income, which is huge to keep people at home, the ones that don't need the nursing home. Because they're not married, that wouldn't happen. And just about all of their household income would be gone because she, for a number of reasons, doesn't have income. So the fact that they're not married, literally those words, right? We can't say spouse in the house. Huge ramifications to this fact pattern. And she said to me, well, I've tried. He has no interest in getting married. I said, well, forget what he thinks marriage means, and let's just focus on the impact that the word spouse means for this exact predicament you have. And instead of talking about, hey, do you want to get married, it's, hey, is it all right if I still stay in this house and I'm not broke on the street? Because if literally they are husband and wife, Debbie, house exempt entirely, and all the income, the way the math works out, can be preserved in their fact pattern. So words really, really, really matter, and I just wanted to get that all out. It was terribly interesting.
No, I mean, it hits home when it's an actual fact pattern like that. You know, it's easy for us to just talk about this and that, but when it comes to a real situation, people are like, wow, I never really even thought about that. And that's another thing that was in the Medicaid myths one, was that, you know, whoever kind of shows up is the person that's going to be able to make your health care decisions, and that's not true. And that your family is going to be able to take care of your finances and take care of your health issues without any documents, and that's not necessarily true. Kind of back to your situation, right? If they're, right. Even if they've been in a long-term relationship for a long, long time, if they don't have any documents, if he doesn't have a health care proxy that names her as health care proxy, they're going to look to next of kin. So if, God forbid, let's just say he had a child from a prior marriage, they're going to look to that. If that child shows up and says, I'm his son, and you don't have any documents, they're going to look to him to make the decisions. And that might not be the person you want to make your health care decisions. And without a power of attorney, you're not going to be able to make any financial decisions for them either.
Yeah, and in general, you never want an attorney to say, hey, you know, this is the first time I'm seeing something like this. We want to make it so we've kind of seen it all, and that we can guide you so that you don't have, you basically learn from other people's mistakes and other people's situations. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we do this every Saturday, all radio hour, and we do it every day, of the week, all year. You got to have a plan. It doesn't even have to be a great plan. You just have to have a plan, just a good plan, right? A half-decent plan, better than no plan. And that can help, and at least you know what's coming. right? And you've made that educated decision because, you know, people decide, you know, I don't really want to do a living will. I don't feel comfortable with that. Okay, all right, that's fine. But if there is a living will situation in that person's life towards the end of their life, right, there's ramifications to that business decision they made to not have a living will. You know, I'm not ready for a trust. Well, okay, that's fine. I hope you never need it. But if it turns out that you go through a probate, as you learned at Debbie's webinar, that's not going to be a fun process. It's going to be costly and time-consuming. So, you know, there's ramifications to everything, but it's not like everyone needs to save all their money for a nursing home. That's only if you want to. I mean, most people do, but you have a choice, but you got to know your options.
Right, and you can't make decisions unless you're making an educated decision, right? So we want to sit down with people and look over their documents. I had a person contact me that she actually mom lives in New Hampshire and daughter lives here locally, and she's like, I'm going to move my mom here from New Hampshire. We may end up having to put her in a nursing home. And I said, okay, and does she have documents? And she says, yes, she does. And I said, okay, why don't you scan and email them over to me? Because she was concerned that New Hampshire documents wouldn't work in New York, right? So she scanned them over to me because she said, well, yeah, I have a power of attorney. I said, well, that's great. So she scanned the documents over to me, and it was not a durable power of attorney, right? It was a healthcare power of attorney. And I said to her, by chance, does she have any other documents? Because this healthcare power of attorney is not going to help you find out what her assets are and be able to move them around if you need to. So this whole time she thought she had a power of attorney and she was going to be able to do all the stuff to take care of mom, and she can't.
That's probably a document that was generated online. That's what I think. Because normally you don't see healthcare powers of attorney just floating out there. Usually attorneys prepare actual either healthcare proxies or powers of attorney. The ability to kick the can down the road, Debbie, is so important, and it's that power of attorney. I know you have a couple Medicaid clients recently. You know, all the options are subject to documents being able to be signed and gifts and transfers being able to be made, in some cases promissory notes, and it can get quite complicated in the Medicaid filings. We need someone who has their wits about them. We were talking about the longest day, and if we have clients that are dealing with dementia and they're incapacitated, we're stuck if they don't have a power of attorney that authorizes someone else to act for them, you know, transact for them, spend money, gift money. And if that power of attorney doesn't exist and they don't have the capacity, you know where we're going, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to court for a guardianship, and that's going to be another huge expense. Absolutely. Hey, Ben, guess what?
What?
I've lost weight because I don't eat cookies at physical seminars anymore because we do webinars. What do you think of that?
That's pretty good, David. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm depressed, though, because I don't get the cookies. So I don't know which I'd rather be.
You could bake your own.
Have you met me?
Yes, I have
there
on many
go.
Occasions. All right.
Yeah.
That's what we know then.
You know, there's always bakeries. You could always go to a bakery and you could buy.
That's true.
Lots of good bakeries out there. But yeah, I do. I miss seeing people. We did have some clients into the office. We've been doing the document signings during all of this in the entryway in the Saratoga office, which has been nice, better, you know, there than it was fun kind of do them in the parking lot in Albany too. But we did have some clients that actually came into the office in Saratoga this week, and you know, it was one of those things where everybody wore masks and then we had to scrub everything down, and it was just different, but it was great to actually see people and be able to talk to them. And I'm really looking forward to a time whenever we can do that.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ben on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, that
frankly,
would be
when
good.
We do our radio, that would be fun.
Yes, that would be fun.
There's something that's obviously we can get the job done. You know, there are important documents and plans that need to be put in place, all that stuff, right? But there's, you know, a certain connection that our firm wants to have with our clients. And it's tough to build that connection when you talk to Jane Marie on the phone, and then the first time you actually saw her was in a parking lot while everyone's wearing masks and gloves. It's kind of hard to do what we do, because it's not just the documents, right? Where plans change over time, and we want to be a good sounding board for our clients to be able to call and say, hey, this is what's going on with my daughter. What do you think? And a lot of that gets lost, or isn't at least built and developed because of, the way we're doing things. Thankfully, we could still do it because these documents are important. You know, imagine, Debbie, with Medicaid rules changing for home care, if we weren't able to do anything, right? There's so many clients now applying for home services that would really have a tough time trying to get those very same services on October 2nd as opposed to September 30th. And so at least we're able to do things.
Well, and it's interesting because whenever you were talking earlier about document executions, because of the pandemic, we can do in-state virtual document executions. I have done two. I know Jay Marie's done a lot more than that, but I've done two.
Yeah.
Where the people are actually in the nursing home, right? Because the nursing home assisted living is locked down. So what we ended up doing was we mailed the documents. We had a contact person. The family made a contact person at the assisted living. We mailed the documents to them. And then via Zoom, we did the document execution. We basically walked them through the documents. Terry and I social distance and sat on this side of the computer and watched them sign their documents so that we could witness them. And the people at the assisted living were absolutely wonderful. They held the paper up and showed us, and then would point the camera of the computer down whenever they would sign. I mean, it was done. And so those documents are perfectly legal, but they were done via Zoom. And the it's one of those things where we've kind of do whatever we've got to do to get people's documents done.
Absolutely. I have one of those coming up. And if we're not able to do it, if not for this right situation where wife's in a hospital, no access to her, husband's transacting, trying to get her situated in a nursing home as well as qualified for Medicaid, needs to move lots of assets around. He can't because he doesn't have a power of attorney for her. They hadn't had that basic planning document in advance. Thankfully, the hospital is going to cooperate, and we're going to see how this signing goes on Monday. But imagine if it couldn't be done. Please don't wait for a Zoom signing for your power of attorney. Please get these documents done earlier. You have to plan on a sunny day for the rainy days. You cannot wait till the rainy days. It may work out, but most of the time it's not gonna. Please.
No, it's very difficult. I mean, we bend over backwards to do whatever we've got to do to make sure that these important documents are done for our clients. And we want to make sure people have documents. And we want to make sure that people have the correct documents, too.
So, Debbie, I got to ask you, which webinar are you partial to? Do you like your estate administration one or the myths one? I think you're more of an estate administration person than a myths one, but
I don't know. I like doing wills versus trust because that one's fun.
A third one. Third candidate.
Myths. Actually, this Friday was the first time I think I'd ever done that one. And it was fun because, you say, this is what people believe, right? This is the water cooler talk. And then it's like, nah, that's not true. It's kind of like Mythbusters. Have you ever watched that on TV where they say, okay, everyone believes this. Let's see if it's really true. And then they go and they disprove it. It's kind of like that. I think that's kind of fun. So, but I do like the one, what to do when a loved one dies. I started out after law school. My first job while I was going to law school, I was basically working as kind of an estate administration paralegal, and it was fun. I kind of liked the intricacies of that. And so helping people avoid all of those things is kind of a good thing. How about you?
Well, let me tell everyone what we did this past week. So we had wills versus trusts, and these are all all of them are going to be available on our website. Most of them already are. HerzogLaw.com. Go to the blog page. We did wills versus trusts. We did aging in place, which is all about community Medicaid, that program that's significantly changing on October 1st. We talked about estate administration and myths, as you mentioned. And we also had a really special one that Jane Marie did on special needs trust and planning when we have beneficiaries and family members with special needs. We don't do that very frequently. In fact, I can't remember the last time we did something on that. So if you missed it, we'd love for you to access them. They're entirely free and just good information. To answer your question, though, my favorite one's the one that I'm doing on Wednesday called Estate Planning in Prime Time, because I get to use my useless knowledge about sitcom TV families to good use to show some estate planning lessons.
Oh, but I love that one. I've never done that one, never presented that one, because it's kind of like your thing. But I love the sitcoms. I love the Archie Bunker. I love the Brady Bunch. It's just, I think, you know, you definitely mix a lot of different ones in there. And you don't think about it, but, you know, these were supposed to be real-life families that we were growing up, well, I was growing up and watching them. I know that on, for you, they're like reruns. What can I say?
No comment on that. You know, they're in syndication. Let's just put it that way. I saw them in syndication. But you know, like Brady Bunch, as a quick example. So, you know, Mr. Brady adopted the girls. That matters. That's a lesson right there, because the girls have inheritance rights for dad. There's no evidence in Wikipedia that mom and adopted the boys, but those things like that really matter, right? And it's funny to think, you know, these crazy fact patterns that they have in these sitcoms, but really there's some teeth to it, and it's sometimes it's easier to learn about stuff when it's not your dad you're thinking about, and it's Carol O'Connor playing Archie Bunker. You know, it might make it a little easier to swallow what's going on. Have a wonderful weekend.
Like
happy
there's our music. Happy Father's Day. Have a great
Day.
One. Take
happy
care.
Happy Father's Day, Ben.
Happy Father's Day,
Happy
David.
Father's Day, Dave and Ben.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit HerzogLaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.